Okay, welcome everybody to our pre-Pesach class at Shari. We are learning Leilui Nishmas Mirim Fron, Mirim Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha HaShalom, HaNasham Hashem Vali, in the Mir of our Torah. So, as I mentioned, I was asked to prepare Pesach Shir instead of our usual Bavavi Mishkan Avne. So that is what I have prepared. So I'm going to begin with an insight from Rav Lau. This is a beautiful Haggadah on the Passover Haggadah. It's insights of Rav Yisrael Meir Lau. Unfortunately, I think it's no longer in print. So why am I showing it to you? I don't know. I'm just telling you. Now, Rabbi Lau. So Rabbi Lau, we know that there is an order to the, even though I think it's out of print, a couple years ago I saw it at the YU book sale, so I think it is possible to get it. There is an order to the Seder, and we can't just do anything, whatever we want. It can't be haphazard. You have to go in order of the Seder. Order represents freedom of a free person. A slave has no order to his life. It is completely haphazard. Doesn't go to sleep on time. Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbech Zeicha Tzadik Livracha was very makbid on proper bedtime. It represents order and Seder in a person's life. And the whole Leil HaSeder is called Seder, which means order. A slave is told at 3 o'clock in the morning to get up and build bricks. Well, if he doesn't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and build bricks, it's going to be off of his head. He's going to be thrown into the river, the Danube River, the Nile River. Seder represents order. Order represents freedom. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau has a beautiful insight into the order of the Seder. We go from Kadesh Urchatz Karpas Yachatz. You all know the song from the time we were children. We got to stick with the order. So the order of the Seder, says Rabbi Lau, is actually the order for one's life. One can derive a moral lesson from the order of the Seder. I'm quoting from Yisrael Meir Lau, not only for Pesach, but for the entire year. Kadesh Urchas means Kiddush and wash. Hashem says to man, if you want to hit Kadesh, if you want to make yourself holy, Kadesh, you must wash. What does it mean, wash? Keep your hands clean. So you have to wash. Keep your hands clean from extortion and theft. So Kadesh Urchas is to be holy. You have to be a clean person by washing. It's not an accident, of course, that we wash with water. Ein mayim ela Torah, says the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah 5b. So in order to be holy, you have to wash. What do we wash with? Water. What's water? Torah. Karpas yachatz. Karpas means, we know, dip the vegetable in salty water. And yachatz is divide the matzah. So Hashem says to man, even if you're not wealthy, even if you're not a person of means, even, remember, this is the order for life. Welcome. We're still learning L'Zeicha Nishmas your mother, as the women can testify, even though we're not learning the Sefer of Bavavi tonight. Even if you're not wealthy, even if you're not a person of means, even if all you have is karpas, is vegetables, you don't have hummus, you don't have olive oil, you have a little bit of salt water with a piece of vegetable. If you don't have meat, you don't have fish. Nevertheless, the achatz, divide what you have, give to those less fortunate than you. So this is truly a model for how a Jew must live his life, no matter what I have. Even if it's karpas, which is a boiled potato in salty water, you have to share with somebody else. Are you hungry? Come physically share with me. Are you in spiritual need? Come of Pesach with me. That's what those two represent. Yecha represents we sustain our brothers physically. Yifsach represents Pesach, we sustain them spiritually. Magid rachsa, recite and wash. Not only must you be honest and clean from theft. You wash yourself, magid. You must recite, you must tell, you must teach to all those around you how to live your life. So what do we tell them? Rachza. In other words, tell other people to wash themselves. The first rachza was for myself to be clean. The next one is to teach others how to be clean. Clear? So that's Magid Rachza, tell others as well to wash themselves. Motzi Matzah, the blessing over Matzah. Matzah, says Rabbi El, can also mean strife. So Motzi Matzah means Motzi Matzah. What should you do to the strife? Remove strife from your life. So if washing represents Ben Adam L'makom, then Motzi Matzah represents Ben Adam L'chaveira. You have to remove strife from your life to maintain peace and quiet. Marar, korech, shulchan arech. Marar is the bitter herb. Korech is the sandwich wrap. Shulchan arech is arrange the meal. So Rav Lau says something very beautiful. Even if your life is unpleasant and wrapped in bitterness, marar, korech, be sure to fulfill your duties as a Jew as formulated in the shulchan arech. Marar, korech, shulchan arech. Even if you have a life that is korech, wrapped up in bitterness, shulchan arech, make sure that you fulfill your duties living as a Jew, the standard code of Jewish law. Tzafun barech, tzafun is hidden, barech is blessing. It is God who is hidden, as it were. It is whom who we have to thank and bless. Tzafun barech, we bless the hidden one. Whether, says Rabbi Lau, we feel feel it is good what happens to us, or we feel it's bad. We come to the end of the Seder, which represents our freedom. Tzafun Baruch. At this point, we bless the hidden one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Halal Nirtza, praise all accepted. We must praise God, and that is the most accepted praise of all. So Rabbi Lau says so beautifully, not only do we not deviate from the order of the Haggadah, but it truly represents the path to clarity, the path to Dveikus, the path to Amuna, to the Borei Olam. Any questions or comments on that?
Yeah? It has to do with something else, but I'll ask it later.
Okay, fine. Rabbi Lau, Rabbi Shlomo Meir Lau. Okay. Okay, so I just wanted to talk for a minute about karpas. Karpas, yachatz, even if all you have is karpas, even if all you have is salty water, yachatz, break it up, says Rabbi Lau, and share your karpas with somebody else. The significance, of course, of salty water is that we remember the tears of the Jews, that they cried, Vatal Shavasam El Halokim Min HaAvoda VaYizaku, not in that order, I said the pasuk backwards. The children of Israel cried out, and their cries, their pleas went up to God from the hard work throughout the generations. How many tears have been shed? B'chol dar v'dar amu malenu l'chal seinu, b'chol dar v'dar we are crying. We're waiting for the day when Umach Hashem Dima me'al kal panim v'cherpas ama yasir me'al kal arts, when he will wipe away tears from upon every face. So when we eat the karpas, yes, it's symbolic, we make adam, we have a piece of a vegetable, you have to restrain yourself from taking too much, you don't have to make a bar nefashas, but you have to keep in mind the tears and what it represents. It's not only in that generation, it's in our day, in our time, we're still crying. However, a different aspect to the tears is kal ha-sha'arim na'alim chutz mishari dima. The Gemara tells us, mishasha nechav beis hamikdash, from the time the temple was destroyed, all the gates are locked except for the gates of tears. So there's a tremendous koach when we are engaging in the karpas with salty water to have in mind, not only the tears of pain, but also the tears of tefillah. So related to tears, it's interesting, it's not on purpose, I didn't plan this. I'm going to quote a story from Rabbi Lau, from Out of the Depths. Okay, it was not planned, but that's how Hashem arranged it. Okay. Rabbi Lau recalls, he was a child survivor. I remember the American soldiers, and I'm relating this to tears, Karpas specifically. I remember the American soldiers entering the camp gates. Later, I learned when I was older, they were part of the 6th Armored Division of General George S. Patton's 3rd Army. I recall their expression when they caught sight of the face of the Musulman, or gaunt as scarecrows. That was a term for people who were walking dead. Gaunt as scarecrows in their striped uniforms, their bodies, the rivers of blood on the floor, those who were caught in the hailstorm of bullets, we drink red wine to remember the blood. With the remaining ammunition, the retreating Germans shot everyone in their path. I saw the American soldiers frozen, shocked into silence. I was also frozen. As a child, I was petrified of the new army that entered the camp gates. I didn't know whether they were for us or whether they were against us. The bewilderment of a child, I hid behind a pile of corpses. The chaplain of the U.S. Third Army was Rabbi Herschel Schachter, who later became the chairman of the Conference of Presidents of Major American Jewish Organizations. In full army uniform, American Rabbi Schachter got down from his jeep, and he stood before the pile of corpses. Many of those were still bleeding. Some groaned in pain. This pain, this doesn't only relate to karpas and salty tears. It certainly relates to Chomer Ulevenim, the bricks and the mortar we had to build. It relates to Bayamas Melech Mitzrayim, Shemos Perek Beis Pasuchaf Gimel, and Rashi says, Nitztarea, he didn't die, Paro, he had Saras, Veshochet Tinokos Yisrael, he would shecht Jewish babies, Verochet Bedamam, and bathe in their blood, Veitzu Bechol Dar Vadar Amdim Aleinu Lechalaseinu. Suddenly, this Rabbi Schachter thought he saw a pair of eyes wide open and alive. He panicked. He drew his pistol. He began to circle the bodies, and then he bumped into me. A little boy staring at him from behind a mound of corpses, wide eyes. His face was astonished. In the midst of this killing field, in the sea of blood, I'm adding some things in that we say, the Pesach say, I passed over you and I saw you rolling in your blood. He was astonished. A child appears. I did not move, but he knew that any child in this place was Jewish. He lifted me in his arms in Yiddish with a heavy American accent. We outbizdu, mein Kind. How old are you, my boy? I saw tears dripping from his eyes, and that's why I chose to relate this story. Through force of habit, I answered cautiously, what difference does it make? I am older than you. He smiled and he said behind his tears, what makes you think you're older than me? Without hesitating, I replied, because you laugh and cry like a child. I haven't laughed for a long time, said the little boy, Lulek. I can't even cry anymore. So which one of us is older? If anyone has the book at home and is interested in sharing the story of the Pesach Seder, it's page 68 through 70 in Out of the Depths. He introduced himself from me. He asked who I was. I said, I'm Lulek from Priatrika. Who is your family? My father was the rabbi, Priatrika. Are you here alone? I'm here alone. I'm here without my father, my mother. My brother collapsed and is sick in the camp. He knew my father. He took me by the hand. We went around to the barracks announcing liberation. People were lying inside blank stairs. They didn't even have the strength to get up. When Moshe Rabbeinu came and he told the people that they were redeemed, of course, for Pesach Seder, we go back to the beginning of Shemos, the Pasuk says, "Velo shamu elav," they could not listen to Mikotzer Ruach Ume Avodah Kasha. We minimize the depth of the Egyptian enslavement because we don't understand the magnitude and how it was the first genocide of our people. The Pasuk says about Bnei Yisrael, "Velo shamu elav," they could not listen. He said, "I'm here to take you out." And they said, nothing. Mikotzer Ruach Ume Avodah Kasha, a broken people. Hooray, you Jews, you are liberated, called out the American rabbi in Yiddish. And they gazed at him as if to ask, who is this crazy Meshuggah standing here in uniform screaming at us in Yiddish? It was a surrealistic sight. The prisoners were emaciated on wooden planks. Before them, the matzah is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Egypt. What does a slave get? Does he get meats? Does he get roast? Does he get the plethora of things? I was in Gourmet God today, and I passed down the aisle Pesach Lakshan, and I saw the thin Lakshan, I saw the medium Lakshan, and I saw the wide Lakshan. The emaciated prisoners were on wooden planks, and there stood Rabbi Schachter with a message of redemption. Rabbi Schachter helped me find Naftali. My name is Herschel Schachter, he said. I am the army rabbi that I liberated Buchenwald. And then he said to the prisoners, congratulations, we have gone from slavery to freedom. He was referring, right, Rabbi Lau, to the story of the Exodus. Naftali names Rabbi Herschel Schachter as the first person to offer him relief after liberation and says that this rabbi restored in him confidence in himself and in humanity. For many reasons, it is a very appropriate story, besides for Zachar Sashar Salach HaMalik. Not only is it B'chol Dor V'Doram Dimaleinu L'Chal Seinu, but it is also V'Kosh Baruch Hu Matzileinu Mi'adam, and perhaps that is the greatest miracle of Pesach. We have to focus on all of the Nisim, and the Rambam, Rav Asher writes, quotes the Ramban, I believe it's the Ramban, that if you do Nachmanides, if you don't tell over, or the Rambam, I'm sorry, I don't remember, if you don't relay the miracles of Yitzias Mitzrayim that show it was a miraculous faction, you're not Yotze Yedei Chavasa. You have to focus on the miracles, but we have to focus on the greatest miracle. And the greatest miracle, literally, Neis Min HaShemai, Pala L'Mala Min HaTeva, is V'Kosh Baruch Hu Matzilin Mi'adam, and that we are still here. So what I want to talk about with those two introductions from Rabbi Lau, both the order of the Seder, as well as that very powerful, moving story that relates so much to Leil HaSeder, I want to focus on the names of the Chag. Okay. And find what is the meaning and the intent behind the different names of Chag HaPesach. We commonly refer to it as Chag HaPesach. It does have different names. So one of the names, what do we call Pesach? Chag HaMatzos. Okay. It's the time of Matzah. It's the Chag, the festival, the celebration of Matzah. The Zohar tells us that, does anyone have questions or comments? Yes.
One thing, that story also is, you mentioned like that he heard the corpse, the people groaning. And also in the Haggadah, we talk about how Hashem heard our groans. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's very haunting, mm-hmm. very, very haunting how, you know, history
repeats itself. If you go through the Haggadah properly, and if you read the parshas in Shemos that describe the Shibud Mitzrayim, and really look into what the Torah is telling you, it is so prophetic that it is very frightening indeed. And yes, it is haunting, but ultimately, Vayar Elokim, Elokim Sa, Vayeda Elokim, and then ultimately we are always redeemed. So Chag HaMatzos, matzah is the bread of Amunah. According to the Zohar, the sukkah is tzila d'mei menusa, Tzila is tzel, shade of faith, and matz is lechem de me'menusa, the bread of faith. So we're not talking about sukkahs tonight, even though Rav Shimshon Pinchas says if you go into the sukkah and someone's citing Maseches Pesachim, you're not going to say what you're doing because Torah works all the time. But tonight we're going to focus on lechem de me'menusa, just a word. Why is the sukkah tzila de me'menusa, the shade of faith? Because lemaisa, not everybody wanted to leave Egypt. Rashi tells us that straight up pasha by Makas Choshech Perik Yod, I believe, in Rashi's Pasuchav Beis. Rashi says there were Rasha'im ba'oso hadar. He calls them Rasha'im. Lo hayu ratzim lateis. Ratzim lateis. They did not want to leave Egypt. Umezu b'shlosha simei feila. They died during the plague of darkness. Not everybody wanted to go out. Why didn't everyone want to go out? If it was so bad, if it's what we're saying, and it was so bad, and they were thrown into the river near Pimatam, near, and they had taskmasters over them, and they had whips over them, and it was a time of infanticide and genocide, so why didn't they want to leave? Because sometimes, and I'm using a modern-day expression, the devil you know is worse than the devil you don't know. They were still afraid. They lacked an amun. I'm not judging them. We don't talk about people who live through such a shibur and pass any judgment. But they lacked a certain ability to follow God into the desert. That's for the one-fifth who had courage, who had amun. And therefore, going out into the desert, the Gemara says, the clouds of glory were the sukkos. We followed Kodesh Baruch Hu to bear that. What am I going to eat? I don't know. What am I going to drink? I don't know. What path am I taking? I don't have a GPS. Get up and leave. Therefore, sukkah represents tzila de me'menusa, the shade of faith. That's al rega achas. But let's really talk about matzah, which is lechem de me'menusa, which is the bread of emunah. How is matzah bread of emunah? Matzah is such an unbelievably interesting bread because we say in halach ma'anya, halach ma'anya. What does it mean? This is the bread of Anya, poverty. I'm a poor person. Diachalo of a son of Ba'ar de Mitzray. My forefathers ate this bread in Egypt. What does a slave have to eat? Nothing. I told over in the Sunday shiur, I'm not going to say it over, it's on Mayu Torah, it's on Hala Mitzrayim, you're welcome to go listen. Did you listen?
I'm in the middle of it.
So the end is an unbelievable story. I'm not going to say the whole, don't fast forward to the end if you go listen to the shiur. Listen to the beginning of the shiur.
You can't really anyway.
What?
You can't really. It's hard to fast forward anyhow.
Oh, okay, good. They don't want you to skip. it's like you shouldn't read the last chapter of the book first. So, Lahavdal Favdal. So, oh, so the very elaborated more, but I know the woman. Her name is Mrs. Aviva Wisnik. It was about her father, Pesach, Alav Hashem Hamnek, Pesach Hachmet, Zichron Alevracha, who survived the camps. And in Auschwitz 1 year in 1943, they took upon themselves, they managed to bake matzah, you'll hear in the story. 10 men, they baked 5 matzahs, each got half a matzah for Pesach. And for 7 days, they ate half a matzah and nothing else. They took upon themselves not to eat any of the camp rations. They hoped there would be some vegetables, but the Nazis, who were very cruel, Yimach Shem V'zichrem, knew it was Pesach. There were no vegetables that week. And every year at the Pesach Seder in Canada, he would pick up his matzah and he would outline how much he survived on. Mm-hmm. So on the one hand, so when I shared the story with my father-in-law, he answered with such a profound email, and he wrote back, and we complain we don't have pizza on Pesach. It's because of these 10 men, this minion, that we even exist. So on the one hand, Lachem oni halach ma'anya diachalav asenabar de mitzrayim. What does the slave have? Nothing. And on the other hand, it's the bread that our forefathers ate when they eat Egypt. So which one is it? Does it represent poverty and affliction, deprivation and starvation? The emaciated corpses looked at this Rav Heschel Schachter and they said, what is this Meshigan to tell me I'm leaving? I'm eating dry toast, I'm eating water, I have nothing else. I'm dying. That's matzah. And on the other hand, matzah is the bread that represents freedom. Because why? There wasn't time for the betzekim. There wasn't time for their dough to rise on the way out. So now I'm leaving. How could the same bread be poverty and affliction and death and starvation and redemption, freedom and geula and triumph? That's emunah. That's why matzah is lechem de me'menusa, the bread of emunah. Because what does it mean to have emunah in the Ribono Shel Olam? The same bread is a direct contradiction. It's a total oxymoron. In the same bread. How could it be? That's the life of a Jew. The same person, the same life, the same experience, the same nation. It's a paradox. Beautiful. It's a total contradiction. On the one hand, it represents the entire pain of our nation. On the other hand, it represents the great triumph that we went out. And that's what it is to be a Jew. And that is emuna of a Jew. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein explains, Zeichat Tzadik Uvracha, Baron Lisconsin says, we quote in this class, like I think 2 years ago, Amuna does not mean God will stay at our side. He's specifically referring to Hester Panim. Salvechik explains that, you see, Shibu Mitzrayim was a time of Hester Panim. The Holocaust was clearly a time of Hester Panim. That Amuna does not claim God will remain at our side. It asks us to remain at his side. And that's Matzah of Salvechik. Zatzal says, quote, there's no such thing as the sun always shines for a person. If he thinks so, he is mistaken. On the same life that can be so painful, can be so beautiful. I remember after the three boys were found murdered, Hashem Yikom Damo, Ayal Yirfach, Naftali Franklin, and Gilad Sha'ar, it's coming up to 3 years, which is just unbelievable. So for 18 days, for Chai days, we davened and we cried, talking about the tears that we cry, and we dip the karbas into the salt water. And we davened, there were Tehillim gatherings. I mean, everyone, Yair Lapid said to the families, I haven't davened since my bar mitzvah. I searched my home and I found a siddur and I prayed. And then I remember, everyone remembers, I think, I remember where I was when I found out that they were not alive. And I had to tell my children. And one of my children, who at the time was 8 and a half, cried like a grown-up. I'm not joking. He was like the same reaction that a grown-up would have. And then, even though he calmed down, he would burst into tears later, into the next day. I was afraid for his amunah. I said, do you want to go talk to Rosh Hashiva? Do you want to go talk to your Rebbe? It was such a deep reaction. But one of the things I told him is, Divrei Nechama. I still remember when I talked to him that night, I said, as painful as it is to be a Jew, it's also so beautiful to be a Jew. And that's matzah, and that's the lechem d'mei menusa, because it goes both ways. And we stick by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all times. I'm going to re-quote an interview that I quoted last year with Rabbanit Henkin that really illustrates this point. My thanks to Sarah Bergman for sharing the interview with me. I know she's not here. I'm not pointing to any of you, Sarah Bergman. And my thanks to her for sharing the interview with me. She gave a Hebrew interview shortly after her children, Rabbi Etam and Naama Henkin, were murdered. And the interviewer said to her, do you have questions for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time? 1 second, please. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Olam, Shachol Nehi Abedvar. Amen. Thank you. Do you have questions for HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time? The interviewer asked her. And she said, Ani cholaket et ha-ko'ev shali im ha-kadosh baruch hu. I portion my pain, notice im, with God, zanachan, and you don't ask. Ein li ta'am l'shal. I have no reason to ask. Ani ma'amina sh'ha-kadosh baruch hu sam otanu ba'alam lo amanat l'kabel shavrim. I believe God put us in this world. Believe. Ma'amina alachem d'mei menusa. Kadosh baruch hu put us in this world not to get a free pass. L'shave chinam b'beit malon, to sit for free in a vacation in a hotel. HaKadosh baruch hu matil aleinu tafkidim. The Almighty puts us with missions in life. Hu lo sho'al otanu tirtzu l'kabel? He doesn't come and say, would you like this? Atem smechim im hadarech shadvorim mitpatchim. So are you happy with the way things are going? She's saying, God does not ask you that. Ani misaperet lo midayom, sh'ani lo smicha. I tell him every day I'm not happy. Halach ma'ane diachadu avasana ba'arda mitzrayim. Halach ma'ane, it's the bread of poverty that we ate in Egypt. And then she says, v'ani yodat shu sham lishmoa. It's also the bread of Amunah, because it represents, I always stick by God. I know he's listening to me. I believe I have a tafkid to continue, and I'm trying to the best of my ability. She cries in the interview, and she says, Slicha. So Mansa represents our whole trajectory as individuals and also as a nation. It is the paradox of life as a Jew and as the nation of a Jew, that it is very difficult, and it's the lechem oni, and it is very, very tremendous in geshmak, and that is the redemption symbolized. The other thing, the other nekuda in regard to matzah, so that is a very hashkafic, foundational reason, insight into Chag HaMatzos. It's the basis of our life, it's amunah. The other thing we can apply that we'll speak about tonight in terms of matzah is a little bit more practical, and matzah equals rizos. time. And the pasuk clearly tells us it's Perikud Beis, pasuk Yud Zayin, and Parshas Bo. So much of what we talk about at Seder night comes from Shmos Ve'er Bo, B'shalach Eshvi Shal Pesach, Kriyas Yamsuf, U'shmartem Es HaMatzos, you shall guard the matzos, ki be'etzem HaYam HaZeh, in the midst of this very day, Hotzeisi Es Tzivotzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, I took your legions out of the land of Egypt, U'shmartem Es HaYam HaDeh L'Doraseichem, guard this day, which we still do for generations, Chukas Olam, an eternal statue for generations. So what is Rashi famous to say in U'shmartem Es HaMatzos?
Mitzvahs.
Rashi is very famous. First Rashi says, what do you mean guard the matzah? They shouldn't become chametz. Then Rashi says, Rabbi Yoshia Omer, alti kore es hamatzos, don't read it matzos, ella?
Mitzvos.
Kederech she'en machmitzin es hamatzah, just like you don't let the matzah rise, kach ein machmitzin es hamitzvah, don't let your mitzvah become chametz. In bal yadcha aseo so miyad. If you comes to your hand an opportunity to do a mitzvah, you must do it right away. This is a practical application. The first application is very hashkafic, full of amuna, fundamental, elemental, root foundation of being a Jew. That's the lachem de meimenusa. This is something we can apply. That's something we have to apply, but this is something that can be applied in a practical and physical way in life, and that is zrizus makdimin lemitzvos. So Rabbi Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yikom Damo, it says in his biography, a brilliant line, many, many beautiful lines, but a brilliant line, zrizus doesn't mean rushing. If you're rushing, you're probably late. And it's great. And I think of it sometimes in the morning when I'm rushing. That does not mean zrizus. That means you're late, says Rabbi Tursky. Zrizus is implanted in us. This is what Rashi says. Alti kore es hamatzos ela mitzvos in bal yad chaseo so miyad. It is implanted in us from the time of our first forefather, Avraham Avinu. He is told to do the Akedah. That is the foreshadowing of all Akedot, of all Jewish sacrifice throughout the ages. And I don't mean sacrifice in terms of sacrificing ourselves, but I mean in terms of the enemy coming and sacrificing us. Vayashkim Avram Baboka, Avram woke up early in the morning, Vayachavosh Chamaro, he saddles his donkey, he takes his lads with him, and Yitzchak, they split wood. So Rashi famously says two words on Vayashkim Avram Baboka, this is Perich of Beis Pasuk Gimel. What's Rashi? Nizdarez LaMitzvah. Avram Avinu had this tremendous alacrity for the mitzvah. Even when you don't understand what God is talking about. You want me to shach my son? The son I waited 100 years for? Who be Yitzchak, Vichar, Lechazara, I should go. But if that's Rach and Hashem, Nizdarez LeMitzvah. And what actually happens in the Yom, if you pay attention to it in your own life, if you don't do it right away, you know what happens?
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen. Either you lose the opportunity, or somebody else does it. You know, we do. It's nice to share. Rabbi Pesach Cohen says, if you do a chesed, the other people can become involved, and you should tell about it, even though you should tell about it. But we do meals and more for Achi Yazar. So I do, I like to do fruit, whatever, noodle kogas, the packages go to people in the hospitals. So 1 week they needed an extra package. It goes back a few years ago. So I thought, should I do it? Shouldn't I do it? You know, the HR says, yeah, don't do it. So I waited too long. So I replied, and it was all taken. So at that time, the case manager replied back, and she said it was already taken. I said, I'm so sorry I was late. She says, it's okay. We all have weeks where we're like the Nesiyim. She says, usually you're like Nachshon. This week you're like Nesiyim. It's tremendous insight. What happened? I loved it. It was years ago, Michelle Spira. Okay? What happens if you wait? What is the goddess of this Rashi? In Bal Yad Chaseo So Miyad. If the matzah waits beyond the 18 minutes, it's not matzah anymore. It changed its shape. It's something else. It's now chametz. So we're giving a practical application in how a Jew must live his life. You got to emulate the matzah. What does it mean? The same way you guard Ushmartim Es HaMatzos, it's Achukas Olam L'Dor Seichem. Says the pasuk, as you have to be in avodas Hashem. You know, if my mother's in my house and she says she wants something, we don't live the same city. I'm like running up. She's like, you don't have to run up. But if I don't run up, either she's going to get it by herself or somebody else is going to do it for her. So I'm going to repeat something that I heard Rav Meir Twersky Shlita say to Shloshim for his brother Rav Moshe Twersky Hashem Yikom Damo. And I don't really want comments on it, and I'll tell you why. I'm talking about a gaon and a gadol, Rav Moshe Twersky Hashem Yikom Damo, who was not on our level. And I understand that this is not something maybe we can apply in our lives, but it's in regard to the Midah of Zrizus. And his brother Rav Meir said, quote, I heard him say this at the Weichel on the Shloshim for his brother, that he never asked anyone to do anything for him in life because he didn't want to have the Midah of laziness. That means he never, not his wife, not his children, Talmud, he never asked anyone to do anything for him. In Bali Yadcha, Aseo Somiyad, you have to do it right away. The reason I said I don't want questions is because sometimes this is difficult for people. I'm not saying that you should go home and never ask anyone to do anything for you. I'm telling you that there is an ideal when a person embraces the highest level of Avodas Hashem and they themselves want to be Osek in the mitzvah. Because I recently taught this in a different community and there was a little bit of uproar. Why? What does this mean? How do we understand it? Is it applicable? I said, it's okay. Why should I feel guilty? I said, you don't have to feel guilty. We have to understand that there is a level where a person absolutely wants to do everything for himself. So let me just give a clarifier. We're not talking about, I don't believe, especially for women, we're not talking in the home or men about being mechanic children. So there's guests coming and we're all setting the table. Shabbos is coming, etc. Unloading the dishwasher, I don't know. Be intellectually honest with yourself. If you're upstairs and it's 11:30, let's say, and you're tired and you realize you need a drink of water, and you have a choice. Either you could go downstairs and get yourself the drink of water, even though you really don't want to, or there's somebody there who you could ask to get it for you. I'm just using this example. If this example is not shayach to you, fine. Pick a different example. I'm not talking about a communal need or a home need or a national need where there's chinuch. Think for yourself, do I have the zrizus for myself to get what? I'm not talking about someone who's a chola, okay? You understand? A regular person who's just too tired to get the water. Why should somebody else get it for you? And in fact, I saw this brought down by Rav Yashav as well. If you want to be mechanich the children, ask them to do something for the other parent, not for you, says Rabbi Yashav. Because we have to understand that there's a high madriga, and the high madriga is in Bali Yad Chaseo Somiyad. It doesn't work for you, don't go home and feel guilty. Keep in mind what we're talking about. Primary motivation in life is to be my service of God. It's my heart, it's my soul, it's my ma'od. The Torah doesn't tell me about somebody else's ma'od. It's something very strong to keep in mind. I do want to relate b'chol me'odecha to what we spoke about before, what Rashi says on all of these inyanim, b'chol levavcha, with your two yetzers, your yetzer tov and your yetzer hara. How do I serve them with my yetzer hara? They're overcoming my yetzer hara. Furthermore, your heart should not be divided over the makam, that's lechem demei menusa. B'chol nafshecha, even if he takes your soul, says Rashi. B'chol d'arvadar amdi malenu l'chalosein. B'chol me'odecha, what does Rashi say? Does anyone know? There's no such thing as the sun always shines. V'chol mida u'mida shamode dach, with each and every measure that he measures out to you. Bein b'mida tova, bein b'mida paranus. Whether it's good or whether it's paranus relates. And then Rashi quotes a contradiction in Tehillim, which we say in Halal, speaking about Pesach and Halal. On the one hand, kosu shuos eso v'shem Hashem ekra. Say it in Halal. And on the other hand, tzara v'yagon emtso v'shem Hashem ekra. So when do I call in the name of God? When I have tzaros or when do I have a cup of salvation?
Both.
And that's in V'hisha Amda itself. You know, it's almost so ironic that you lift the cup. You should only lift the cup at the end when you say V'akash Baruch Hu Matzilinu Miyadam. That's Kos Yeshuas Esa. Why do I lift the cup from the beginning when I say B'chol Dor V'dor Amdi Malenu L'chal say, no, I'm going to lift my cup. Why? Because Tzar V'yagon Emtu V'shem Hashem Ekwa. At that moment, I have to call upon the name of God. And also, Kos Yeshuas Esa V'shem Hashem Ekwa. So matzah represents the bread of Amunah on the one hand and the aspect of Zrizus on the other hand. Okay, moving on. Any questions or comments on that? On matzah, Chag HaMatzos? Okay, Chag HaPesach, which is how we commonly refer to the Yom Tov of Pesach. The Pasuk says, in again, in Parashas Bo, Shmos 12:13, Perikud Beis, Pasuk Gimel. What is Pesach? What was God doing? Literally, passing over. That's what we call the holiday in English. V'haya ha-dam lachem la'os. The blood. It's related directly to dam, blood. Someone said something? Correct. So the pasuk says, "V'haya hadam lachem la'os." The blood will be for you a sign al habatim asher atem sham, in the house where you are. V'ra'isi as hadam. God says, "I will see, so to speak, the blood." U'pasachti aleichem. I will pass over you. There won't be a plague of destruction amongst you when I smote the Egyptians. It's interesting that the Pesach is related to the blood, to the dam. We put the dam on the mashkof and the mezuzos, on the two, on the lintel, on the two doorposts. Mashkof is the piece on top, the mezuzos. That's what we had to do, like you just said, with the Karban Pesach. You shech the Karban Pesach and you smear the blood. God needs the blood. He needs the blood of the Karban Pesach on the lintel of door, but he doesn't know what house to pass over. What happened was the time for redemption had come. Hashem told Avraham Avinu in the Bris Ben Absarim, Shibu Mitzrayim is directly related to Bris Ben Absarim, Perek Tazav of Rishas. Emash Chashecha Gedonu Lo, Falas Alav, a deep dark sleep fell on Avraham Avinu at the time of Bris Ben Absarim. He had tremendous nevuah, and he was told, Ger Yezarecha Be'eretz Lolaham. There are going to be strangers in a land that's not nurse. Va'avadum Vinu Osam Arba Me'oshana. Don't we say this at Nagara? So the time came. It was 400 years from Leidas Yitzchak, and we had no merits. We had no merits. We were on the 49th level of impurity. In fact, the angels say by Kriyas Yamsuf Shvi Shal Pesach, why are you saving them? Elu of the Avodah Zarah, ve'elu of the Avodah Zarah. So the Israelites are idol worshippers, and the Egyptians are idol worshippers. So what are you saving these people for? They should all drown in the sea. So we had no merits to get out. We were devoid of mitzvos. So Hashem gave us two mitzvos, and they were both mitzvos of blood. We had come to associate blood. I quoted Rashi before, Perek Beis Pasuch of Gimel. Paro was nitzareya v'shochei tinoko Yisrael v'rochets b'damam. Blood became associated with death. It was a covenant of death, not a covenant of life. That is what we saw the dam as. We started with a story from Rabbi Lau. The corpses were still bleeding because the retreating Germans had shot everyone in their path with their final bullets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, va'avar alayach, through dam you have a covenant with the Ribono Shel Olam. You have a personal covenant of Mila, and you have a national covenant of Karban Pesach. And the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, Perek Tazayin Pasuk Vav, and this we do say at the Pesach Seder, va'avar alayach, upasachti, I passed over you, va'erech, I saw you. This is directly related to the Pasuk in that we just quoted from Parshas Bo, misposessus b'damayach. You were rolling in your blood, but not rolling in a blood of death, rolling in a blood of a covenant of life. And in fact, there are two mitzvos aser that if a person does not do them, he is chayiv kares. Two. What are they? Mila and Karban Pesach. Why? Because you remove yourself from the covenantal community. A Jew cannot exist in isolation. Mila represents the covenant with the Ribono Shel Olam between every man and God, and Karban Pesach represents the national covenant with God. And if you remove yourself from the community, so God says you want to be removed from the community, no problem. I will remove you from the community. And therefore, in regard to only these two assays, we are punished with kares for removing ourselves. Because Jewish blood, even though the enemy wants us to think that Jewish blood is a curse of death, it is not. V'amarlach, and the Navi says, Yecheskel says, God says, v'damayichai, is dafka through these two mitzvos, Mila, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us there, so we would have Zchusim, and Karban Pesach. So now we can answer our question. Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need the blood on the mashkof and the mezuzos? We need the blood of the mashkof and the mezuzos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, first of all, it's a psychological boost of confidence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, you are a people and you will live through this blood, the Jewish blood that runs through your veins. From the time of Avraham Avinu, the first one to do... Avraham Avinu was the first one to do Bris Mila. And it was the first one to have Pesach.
Avraham Avinu.
Wow. Very nice. Perek Yirchas, Parshas Vayera. The Malachim came, and they bake matzos. Mm-hmm. And why do they shecht? One second.
Don't leave. Don't leave. Aberacious with Rashi. One second, please.
Okay, it's not, I don't know where, one second. There's somewhere where Rashi says that they needed to shech for the Karban Pesach. Does anyone remember where it is? This isn't a trick. Okay, fine. Avraham Avinu was the first one to do Bris Milah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Perek Yud Zayin, that he should do Bris Milah, Yisalich Lefanei Vehei Tamim, and he was also the first one to observe Pesach. When the Malachim came to him, we know it was Pesach. Why do we know it was Pesach, ladies? Because they told him, this time next year, Yitzchak will be born. It's exactly 400 years from the time of Leidas Yitzchak to Yetzias Mitzrayim. So they came on Pesach. Yitzchak was born on Pesach, and we were redeemed on Pesach. So the first Pesach is not associated with our forefathers in Egypt. It's associated with who? Avraham Avinu, 400 years before Yetzias Mitzrayim. So who is the first one to form a covenant with God? Avraham Avinu through Bismillah and Pesach. So Kosh Baruch said, so you have no merits. But I promised your forefather, you're going to get out. I made a swear to Avraham Avinu, Bris Milah, Pesach. So what should I do? I'm going to give you the two mitzvahs that he was osek in, that represent the blood of life, not the blood of death. And through this, you will be redeemed.
All I have is Keis Chaya, Keis Hazos, Lashana Haba, the Pesach Chaya.
Thank you, God.
Okay.
Thank you, God, and Shai. Thank you so much. Thank you. Baruch Hashem. Thank you. Vayomer, this is exactly the passage that I was just talking about when Shani found it. Vayomer, Shav Ashuv Elecha Ke'es Chai, I will return to you, said the Malachim, at this time next year. Vihine ben Sari Ishtecha, there will be a child to Sari, your wife. Oi, my favorite var, we can't go into it now. Sari was listening and she laughs, but we're not going to talk about her laughter now. Okay. Ke'es Chaya, Ke'es Hazos L'shan Haba, U Pesach Chaya, Ula Pesach Haba Nolad Yitzchak. It was Pesach when they came. On the Pesach to come, Yitzchak was born. We count 400 years of Galus Mitzrayim beginning from Leidas Yitzchak. So it was exactly 400 years later that their time for redemption came. And God promised Abram they're going to get out. Arba Me'il Shana to God means Arba Me'il Shana. It doesn't mean Arba Me'il Shana plus an hour. It means Arba Me'il Shana. On that day. So what should they do? So Hashem says, I know what we're going to do. We're going to go back to the koch of your first forefather. Who is the first forefather? Avraham Avinu. What were his two mitzvos? Bris Milah, he forged the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it was Pesach. In the middle of that very day, Avraham Adinu, it's even better. Are you sitting down? I'm sorry, you're listening to Yahuwah Torah. You could skip to the end. I'm not stopping. You have to go? It's even better. Tell us already. Because I quoted the pasuk before, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, perik yod beis pasuk yod zayin of Shmos. You shall guard the matzos. Who remembers the next words? Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh, hotzeisi et tzivoseichem eretz Mitzrayim. Where did this koach of be'etzem hayom hazeh come from? Then I happen to, but in that quotes turn to the pasuk of Bris Milah, perik yod zayin pasuk ha-vav, 1726, in Bereishis, be'etzem hayom hazeh nimol Avraham. The Jew is never afraid. Someone said to me recently, very, very recently, this week, I was doing with someone, we snuck out of Egypt in the middle of the night. I said, no! It was like a chavrus. I didn't mean to scare. I didn't really scream at her. A little bit. I said, that's exactly not true. We left Ba'etzem Hayom Hazeh. And with what did we leave? Bris Milah. Who did Bris Milah Ba'etzem Hayom Hazeh? Avraham Avinu. And when did we leave? With the Karban Pesach, which got us out. So does God need the blood on the lintel on the doorpost? No, he needs to see we are the children of Avraham Avinu. We do not separate ourselves from the covenantal community. That's Chag HaPesach. That is Chag HaPesach. Vayhi Adam lechem laos al batim asher atem sham v'ra'isi es Adam upasachti aleichem. So we tap into the koach of Avraham Avinu. So even if we don't have merits, we say to Ribbono Shel'olam, give us the merits and the schus of our forefather. And therefore, blood becomes for the Jew a symbol of life. The Jewish child enters into the covenant of God through blood. It becomes a symbol of life and not a symbol, chas v'sham, of death. I just thought of something, because I was thinking the Jewish child enters the covenant through blood, but what about the woman? So what's so interesting is that Dafka, after she bleeds, she becomes tahar, and there's new opportunity for life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "B'damayichai." The enemy wants us to think it is through our blood we die. It is through your blood in the way of Avraham Avinu that we live. Yes, you don't have much more I have to do, yeah.
I want to say by the covenant was Avraham Avinu had a child on Pesach.
Correct.
And the whole thing with Pesach is that he got it al levincha.
Is what?
That he got it al levincha.
Correct.
That's the whole thing, is that you're supposed to have in the
So
Torah
you're coming right into my next point about Pesach. Okay. But I just want to say something else. This is crazy. Because I just said the woman, where is her blood? After she is in Nida, there's new opportunity for life. After she is Metaher.
Sarah Aminu is Nida.
What happened with Sarah on this Pesach? Why couldn't they use the bread she baked? She returned to the way of women. She began to become in Nida again. So what the enemy makes us think is a curse of life, is a curse of death, is a curse of life. Okay, I'm going to try and fast forward. Another thing. So is everyone with me? Lachem demei menusa is the bread of Amunah. Remember, we're going back. Why is it called Chag HaMatzos? Because Matzos is the bread of Amunah. We spoke about Amunah, contradiction, paradox of being a Jew. We spoke about Zrizos. Now we're speaking about Pesach. The first Pesach is Pasachti Aleichem, the blood. We just spoke about blood. The second thing is Pesach. I'm sure you've heard it because many people have been telling it to me over the past few days. I read it in Rabbi Freifeld a number of years ago. Pesach doesn't only mean Passover, but Pesach, open your mouth. And that relates to Vigata Labincha Bayam Hu Lemar. I think that it's interesting that Pesach has a Samech, but there's another word, Pesach. I know it's a tough, but in Lashon HaKodesh, we can interchange letters. Pesach Habayis means the opening or the entrance of the home. We have to open our mouths, Rez Rav Freifeld, on Dafka this night. Why does that represent our freedom? Pesach, freedom, why? Because the slave has no language. And even if he has language, he can't utilize his language. He can't say to the master, I would like to go here now. I would like to tell my child a bedtime story. I would like to eat at this hour. I have an opinion. The slave has nothing. He doesn't own time. That's why Chodesh Zalachem is the first mitzvah. And he doesn't own Koach HaDibur. So Rav Salvechik says, the slave is deprived of the meaningfulness of speech. He lives in silence. If such a meaningless existence may even be called life. The slave lives a life of silence. He has no message to deliver. He has no audience to hear. Who is the slave on the barrack in Auschwitz going to tell the story to? The guy next door? You're telling me about your pain? What about my pain? The slave has no one to tell to. So what Dafka represents our freedom? Chag HaPesach, Pesach. Open your mouth. It is the opening of the doorway. It is the entrance. Ve'gadat ala bincha bayam u'leimor. And you should know that Sefer Chinuch says something unbelievable on this mitzvah. Even if he's all alone at the Seder, he is mechuyev to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now we can understand that. Why? What about passing on the Mesorah? It's not only to pass on the Mesorah, it's to demonstrate your freedom by opening your mouth. And therefore, even if you're all alone, or on Jabba Mitzrayim, I feel like stand up. Even if you're all alone, you have to still have to speak. You still have to speak because it's not only for other people. It's for yourself because it demonstrates you are a free person and you are granted the capacity of speech at the moment of redemption. The minute of Adam HaRishon was created, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Bereishis, we spoke about this in class many times. Adam was created Afar Min HaAdama. He had dust from the earth. He had a neshama. Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es Adam Afar Min HaAdama. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. Vayi Adam lenefesh chayim. Targum Onkos famously says there, Vahavas ba'adam leruach memalala. Man became a speaking spirit. At the moment of our creation, as individuals, we're granted koach hadibur. And in the moment of our creation as a nation, we're granted koach hadibur. And therefore, Kol hamar belisaper hareze meshubach, to the point where ad kedei kach, that if you're all alone, you have to tell the story. We have to go through one more. That's Chag HaAviv. You still with me? Even if there's one person who's going to be here, I would hope, as Ezra Shambliner, I would like to finish this year, and you could listen on Wayu Torah, but please don't leave. Chag HaAviv. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk. By the way, we have to thank Elisha Vishlam because she emailed me 3 days ago and said, could we do Pesach Shir instead of Belvavi? Okay, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. No, I'm being serious. Thank you. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Dalet. The rest of them are thinking if it was Belvavi, it would have been out here 7 minutes ago. Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Dalet in Shemos. Hayom Atem Yotzim Bechodesh Ha'aviv. We went through. We started with the order of the Seder. We spoke about Karpas. We then spoke about, we're talking about the names for the Chag. Chag HaMatzos represents foundational Amuna, Lechem Demei Menusa, and it also is Zrizos, which is something we can practically apply in our lives. Try once a day Once a day, to get yourself something instead of asking someone else. I'm saying one time when you feel like asking someone else. Try that one time not to do it. Bal yadcha, al tach mitzera. Don't make your chametz. Then we spoke about Chag HaPesach. We spoke of the blood, which is not the curse of death, but it's the blessing of life. And if you take yourself out from the blood of covenant, you're chayiv kares. And we spoke about Pesach, the meaningfulness of speech, which represents freedom. Okay, Chag HaAviv. So the Pasuk says, it's in Shemos 13:4, Perikud Gimel Pasuk Dal. Hayom atam yotzim b'chodesh ha'aviv. Today you are leaving b'chodesh ha'aviv. The Torah stresses it is aviv. What is so important about aviv? And the Sunday Shir gave a different answer. I'm going to speak about something else. And this is the most basic understanding. And that is aviv represents renewal. Okay, we all know that. We talk about it. But let's lamaisa think about what this means. That in the winter, the trees look dead. We started to see on the way from Shul this week, I said to my kids, the tulips are starting to come up. The ground looks dead. The tree looks dead. There's no fruit. There's no leaves. There's no blossoms. There's no flowers. That's Knesset Yisrael. Vayomer paro lemiyados ha'ivrios. Ureisim al havyanim imbasu v'chaya v'imbenhu v'amitim oso. The boys have to be put to death. When it looks like Knesset Yisrael has all but disappeared. No, says God, Chag HaAviv, you are renewed. And that is, of course, represented, we're a lunar people. HaChodesh Hazeh Lecham Rosh Chodashim. Rashi says, Hazeh, Hashem showed Moshe the new moon. Because when it looks like we're all but gone, would you believe it? There we are again. My grandfather, Alav HaShalom Simcha Aryeh, my paternal grandfather, he was 1.5 in the First World War. In Khorban Europa, he lost his wife and 3 daughters. His father died when he was a very young boy, so he lived through 2 world wars, through terrible Khorban, personal and national. And in 1990, 1991, we were living in Eretz Yisrael. I was in 9th grade. It was the year of the Gulf War. And he was with us for Shavuos. And we went to Birka Kohanim at the Kotel. And there was an elderly man at the time. And there are thousands upon thousands of Jews. And he said in Yiddish, who would have ever thought I would live to see this in my lifetime? That's Chag HaAviv, that when all hope seems lost and we are decimated and destroyed, what actually emerges is that what? We are very much still here. So it's interesting, I'm going back to Rabbi Lau, and I want to end sort of with this story. I want to end with this story, Leanader, but I'm going to try. Rabbi Lau recalls the story of the late Rebbetzin Tzila Sorotzkin, his son-in-law's aunt. Okay? She was one of the leading educators of the Beis Yaakov movement. Okay, she was a Holocaust survivor. She told my daughter Miri, her niece, in all the 6 years of war, we began with tears and we're ending with tears. But we're also ending with Aviv, which is rejuvenation. I cried only once. I was in the most horrible of camps. I lost my whole family. I was alone. It's so fascinating. She says I was broken in body and spirit. V'lo shamu elav mikotza ruach me'avoda kasha. Kotza ruach represents broken spirit. Avoda kasha represents a broken body. I didn't cry. I returned to my hometown. I was completely alone. I found not a living soul. I didn't cry. They told me, go to Lodz. There are refugees there. Maybe you'll find somebody. I went to Lodz. I was exhausted. They showed me the area where Jews were assembling. With my last remaining bit of strength, I walked through the streets in twilight. Suddenly, I heard sounds from one of the windows. And this relates to V'igad to Labincha, but it relates to everything we spoke about. Karpas, Kal Sha'arim Na'alim Chutz Mishar Dima. It relates to B'chol Dar Rodar Amdi Malenu L'chaloseinu. It relates to our tears in each and every generation. V'atal Sha'avasim Ela Elokim Mina Avoda. And ultimately, sit down at the Seder and make sure you tell the next generation. B'avur Zah Asal Hashem Li B'tzeisi Mimitzrayim. And even if you're all alone, tell yourself about the Geula and the Yeshua. I heard sounds from one of the windows, as if in a trance. As if someone called me inside, I opened the gate. I entered the courtyard of an ancient, decrepit building. I opened the door. In darkness, there was a row of boys with side locks, peyos, sitting along the long table. This is post-Holocaust. These are refugees. These are survivors. At its head sat an elderly Jew who was wearing a baseball cap. The children were chanting the Aleph Beis. I don't remember anything else. I found myself on the floor, people standing over me, pouring water to revive me. The teacher said, what happened? Can I help you sit up? Maybe you would like to eat. I recovered and I said, this is the first time in 6 years that I have cried. But I am not crying from pain, I'm crying from joy. Everything we do at the Seder represents the paradox, I love the word, of being a Jew. Everything we do represents the affliction on one hand and the joy on the other. We began with tears of pain and we're ending speaking about tears of joy. I've wandered far and wide until I've reached Lodz. And now here I see Poland as it once was. And after all we've been through, I said to the teacher, if little boys in Sidox are sitting here and an elderly teacher, of Salvechik, says, the redeemed slave tells his child who was born of freedom his story. And he's teaching them the Aleph Beis, then no one can defeat us. Let me catch my breath. I am fine. I am crying tears of joy, not of pain. And the last thing of Pesach that I said, Blinair, I really need 2 minutes. Mamish two. We spoke about Chag HaMatzos. We gave two insights, two reasons. Amuna and Zrizos. Chag HaPesach. It was blood and, what was the other thing? Pesach. Open your mouth. Chag HaAviv is the rejuvenation of Knesset Yisrael. And finally, Chag HaGeula Zman Chirusenu. How will Mashiach come? Rav Chaim of Elazhen was once asked, how will the Messiah come? And Rav Chaim of Elazhen said, let me tell you the following parable. You will understand how redemption will come on an ordinary unfortunately, it's not a true story. Rav Chaim of Elazhen was the father of yeshivas around the 1800s. On an ordinary weekday, I come home from yeshiva. My wife says, Chaim, are you ready for breakfast? Not yet, Relka. I have to finish preparing my lecture for today. I can't eat till I review my material. All right, Chaim, while you're preparing the lecture, I'm going to the market. In the meantime, I am leaving the soup cooking on the stove. Please be careful, Chaim. I know you. When you become involved in your learning, you forget everything else. My wife left for the market. I open my volume to study. I look out the window. The sun is shining so much brighter than ever before. What intensity! The birds in the garden are chanting an enchanting melody, chirping an enchanting melody. There's a commotion in the street. It smells so beautiful. Ellie, the shoemaker, is running down the street. I call out the window, says Chaim of Elazhen, Rabbi Chaim of Elazhen. Ellie, what happened? The leaves are blossoming. Chag HaAviv. The birds are singing Pesach. It smells so beautiful. Chag HaGeula. Ali looks up. Rabbi, don't you know the Messiah is here? I run to my closet to get my Shabbos kapata to go greet the king. And to my disappointment, my jacket is missing a button. Last Motzei Shabbos, it fell off. I told Relka to sew it. She said, what's the rush, Chaim? You don't need it till next Shabbos. Now I have to go forth to greet the Messiah with my jacket missing a bat. While I'm debating with myself whether I should wear the defective jacket or my weekday jacket, my wife comes home, breathless. She says, Gewalt, Chaim, you fool, you forgot the soup. You foolish woman, we're going to greet the Messiah and you're worried about the soup. Go put on your Shabbos clothing and come with me to greet the king. Comments of Salvechik, this story which I heard from my father, Rav Moshe, which he heard from his father, Rav Chaim Brisker, summarizes the whole saga of Jewish redemption. When we least expect it, when they're bathing in Jewish blood, when they're throwing the babies into the river, nirpim atem nirpim, when it's avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim, when we can't believe the redemption will ever come, it comes unexpectedly, says the Rav. This story symbolizes the whole saga of Jewish redemption. At the moment the Messiah comes, he discovers the button is missing on the suit he needs to greet the king. The sages famous, the same as Sechs Shana 11a, B'nissen nig'alu, B'nissen asidin liga'al. We should be zocha to embrace the Chag HaMatzos, to embrace Chag HaPesach, to live up to Chag HaAviv, and to be zocha, whether we have a jacket that's missing a button or not missing a button, to be zocha, to greet Malach HaMashiach. It should be b'mehir b'amein. I wish you all your Chag Kasher v'sameach. Amen v'amein. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you for staying overtime.